Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
We continue on a Friday, and on a Friday when we continue, the All Marine Radio Head Chef joins us, as he does today, Kim Holmes, in the house. Kim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Marines everywhere. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, baby.
I hope everyone had a nice Halloween.
What'd you do for Halloween?
I stayed home and... Avoid Halloween. I don't go out. I've been there, done that kind of thing. And I will sit in the balcony and look at the costumes going in and out of the bars across the street and get a chuckle. It's fun time.
It's always hard. Halloween, though, you know what's interesting about Halloween over, what, the last 20 years or so? Is like more and more people dress up. Adults. I mean, when my parents did not dress up for Halloween.
No.
I don't know when that started, but it did. And now, like, we're giving candy out of the house. And like, here are the parents, like, behind the kids on the sidewalk, dressed in their costumes too.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you have to dress up if you're taking your kids out. You have to dress up too.
That's crazy.
And, that's the new rule today.
It is.
But,
right.
Yeah.
And I can see if your wife wants to get dressed up. Okay. My ex-wife went to work dressed as the Queen of Hearts. Okay. From Alice in Wonderland, right? With the big thing that goes like behind your head, that like, I don't even know what you call that thing. Right. And, she likes Halloween. Okay. My ex-wife loves Halloween. And so she's at work screaming off at their heads and she's got a loud voice too. When Susan yells, like, you know, in fact, we were talking the other day when Patrick went to OCS before he left.
Yeah.
Before Patrick left, they had a dinner, and they were talking that Orange County, the OSO in Orange County, had not had somebody get through OCS in, like, I don't know how many years. Like, what? And Susan says, time to man up, boys. And there's a Marine Gunnery Sergeant looks at her and he says, "Man, would you like to come to work for us?"
Oh my God!
And you had these kids, you know, and then he said, like, "Well, we know one of them. There was three of them that were going. We know one of them's gonna make it." I said, "Well, he knows. If you don't make it, don't even come home. Just head east, right? Get on a freighter and go to Europe. Do something, because yeah." And so, and then she said it a second time when she was saying goodbye. Well, it was nice meeting everybody. And she looks at them. She's like, "Time to man up. Let's go." And they're laughing. So yeah. Anyway, she went to work as the Queen of Hearts. But I'm not. Were you a big costume? You're a costume guy. Kim dressed up for New Year's
as the
New Year's baby.
Yeah, you know, I've never met a costume I didn't like. Like at cardio rehab Wednesday on Halloween.
Yes.
I went as a pirate. I had an eye patch. I had that do-rag with all the skulls on it that I used to wear when I had my Harley.
Yes.
I had that on. I had an orange T-shirt, orange, black and striped orange shirt with my sweatpants pulled up like the old baseball players used to do, you know, when they had legs, and these orange, red, yellow, purple T-shirt, tennis shoes on.
Right.
And I walked in there, and all the nurses started laughing. Oh, my God, you're the only one that's dressed for Halloween. I said, well, that's the way I roll.
Happy Halloween!
And that's just for how I did it. I walked right in and went, happy Halloween. You know, had my walking stick. And, and I took the patch off for my exercise.
Yeah, you kind of have to.
But I stumble as it is. So, yeah, and, you know, I don't go to Halloween parties anymore.
They get out of hand, don't they? I'm never a big Halloween guy.
Well, at Halloween parties now for adults, it's a drink fest.
Yeah, that is true.
And everybody gets sloppy, and you know, at least they have a uniform costume on when they puke. It's on the costume and they throw it away.
Well, you know, I think that there's a certain amount of that that's emboldened by the costume.
Yeah.
You know, that when all of a sudden you put on a costume, like, all the rules don't apply anymore. Is that fair?
No.
I'm somebody else. I actually am a pirate and do not have to obey the law of the land.
No. What's that phrase from that Marlon Brando movie, I don't got to show you no stinking badges. That's what I feel like when I'm, you know, dressed up at Halloween. Don't mess with me. I don't have to show you nothing.
Yeah, right. Well, let me just tell you, in the real world, you do. But see, that's what happens when you put a costume on. Like, all of a sudden, you think you're a ninja. Like, our oldest, he's now 31. When he, like, when you see pictures of him as a kid, he was infected by it. He wasn't wearing a ninja costume. He was a ninja. Okay? His younger brother used to just wear costumes. The oldest one?
Yeah.
He transformed into a ninja. So it's kind of interesting. It's kind of interesting to look at old Halloween pictures and go, whoa, little dude's got issues, man. He's got issues. And I was just with him over the weekend, Kim. That kid can eat like nobody's business. He has got a bottomless pit. He's got a hollow.
Hey, I trained him. Susan and I trained him.
Oh my God. You. And he and his wife Susie are foodies, and she's a great cook, but
he is a great cook.
He can load it out like nobody. So, yeah, he's going to be morbidly obese. That's what's in his future. Not real soon, but ultimately, he'll weigh 600 pounds. You'll see him on some reality TV show when they crane him out of his house. Because that dude, he loves food. And he's got some kind of cavern inside where he can annihilate food. So, yeah, my oldest, Johnny boy. So anyway, that's going on. Let me tell you what. If you true or false? Well, I don't even want to talk about it because it's a mental health story. I want to update one more story. Repairs to the USS Arizona Memorial Dock won't be finished until March. The National Park Service announced in an October 29th press release, makes it impossible for officials to use the hallowed memorial to host this year's annual commemoration of December 7th, 1941 attack by the Japanese. The ship's hull is considered a national shrine because it's found a resting place for more than 1,177 of the crew of 1,512 who were aboard the warship when Japanese aircraft sank it. So they had structural issues with the platform that sits astride of the memorial, right?
Yes.
So anyway, that's what's going on out there. For the first notice damage to the visitors ramp at the Arizona, they later determined the damage was caused by a failing anchoring system for the boat dock, which put extreme pressure on the loading bridge and triggered the cracks. So anyway, so they're in the process of repairing that. And those repairs don't take 15 or 20 minutes. It's a relatively large structure. So have you ever been to that? I've never even been to Hawaii.
Yes.
You have?
When I went to Honolulu, I had to go.
You had to go? Why did you have to go?
Because pay my respects.
You had to represent?
What?
You had to represent? Why were you in Honolulu?
No, I didn't have to represent. I just, as a tourist, I went.
Oh.
When we were in Hawaii, we stayed in Honolulu for a few days, and we took a cab out there, and it's pretty moving and very emotional,
yeah.
Regardless of who you are.
You know what? I was being born on December 7th.
It's a tearjerker.
Yeah, oh man, I would imagine. I believe my uncle's name is on the punch bowl.
Wow.
My great uncle, my mom's.
It's not as intense as the Vietnam Memorial is for me.
I wonder why.
What's that?
I wonder why, because it's essentially the same thing. When you see all those names on the wall of the punch bowl, I wonder why it did not hit with the same thud that the Vietnam War Memorial hit you with.
Well, for me, it was because I didn't have any relatives in Hawaii when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. But for me and the friends that I did lose in Vietnam, high school buddies, hometown buddies, and just the dramaticness of that wall when you come around and you come up and it's all you see is grass and it comes up and then the wall drops away and then it goes small and makes the turn, and you walk around, and it just, it's overwhelming. That was my reaction, and then you try and find your friend and friends, and the year they died, and in order, and that's pretty traumatic. It's a tearjerker. You know, it got me.
Yeah, because just
looking at it, got me, and seeing the emotion of everybody there, very intense.
I've never been to the punch. I've never. Did you go to the punch bowl while you were in Hawaii?
Yeah.
Is that where they have the names of it's on a granite wall, though, I thought.
It is. I think it is the granite wall. I mean, the fact that they did that memorial and they didn't try and bring the ship up, and because it was so horrific when it happened, and it was a very appropriate, I feel, very appropriate monument.
I've never been to Hawaii. I've been past it a couple times on a ship. Looks pretty green, but I've never been there. I should probably go.
We spent our time in Kauai. We flew in and out of Honolulu and then flew over to Kauai. That's called the Garden Island, and that's the furthest away from Oahu. And Honolulu itself is exceptionally busy and touristy.
Yes.
And once you get out of town and go to the North Shore, it's really nice. But it's a big town, Honolulu. I gotta warn my wife that the her meatloaf is done.
Oh, really?
Hold on a minute.
All right. The Almarine Radio Head Chef, go ahead. The Almarine Radio Head Chef, Kim Holmes, with us. We're talking a little bit about the. I've never been to the Punch Bowl.
The time is going off, Beth.
Uh-oh. Must be.
Your timer's going off. Sorry, man.
That's all right. That's all right. You got to make sure the meatloaf's good, right?
You can't ever let your meatloaf.
No, you gotta pay attention to the meatloaf because there will be hell to pay. The
yeah.
Email, Mac. I'm surprised you haven't been to Hawaii. Everybody's been to Hawaii. I know. I always feel left out of that discussion when people are talking about Hawaii. Like, oh, I've been to Hawaii 6 times. Oh, well, I never have. Have you been to Afghanistan? No. Okay, we're even then. The email says this. It goes on. Of all the places you could visit, what would be at the top of your list? Okay. Then it says this. One would be something that would be historical. Separate that from just a tourist place that you would like to go. Okay. This is easy for me. Okay. A historical place that I would like to go would be the island of Iwo Jima. And there's, you know, Marines get to go there every once in a while. I know I have friends that have been there. I have some friends that have been there more than once, which makes me angry. And then I have other, and so that would be the place, the historical place I would go first. If you said, okay, this afternoon we're going to do the Bewitch thing and move our nose and we're going to go someplace, I would go to the island of Iwo Jima first. And then I think after much consideration, the one tourist place that I'd like to go would be Rome. I've never been to Italy. And I've not only growing up Catholic, but also I studied art in college for a couple years because I had to, not because I wanted to. I took art history as an elective, and just the art of Italy is something to behold. So I think Rome would be the tourist place I'd like to go. So, how about you, Kim? A historical place that you've never been that you'd like to go?
I would like to go to Normandy, to the beaches where we invaded Europe. I'd like to see that.
All right. And tourist place?
Tourist place, I would get... Probably where I worked in Switzerland in the summertime, where it's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been in the world.
No, you've already been there though. Someplace you've never been.
Then it would be New Zealand.
Oh really? Down under, eh?
Yeah, it would be New Zealand, and both the North and South Island. The North Island is warm, and the South Island has the, they call it the Southern Alps. They have the Tasman Glacier down there on the South Island, and it's absolutely spectacular. There are no snakes.
I hate snakes.
And I hate snakes. Like Australia has more poisonous snakes than anywhere in the world.
Australia does?
Australia.
Does. Cross that off the list.
Yeah. But New Zealand, my old roommate, lives, married a Kiwi, and they live down there. They have for 30 years, and I haven't have been able to get down there. And that's one place I would just really, really love to go. It's so beautiful, and the food's great down there. They, you know, they have more sheep than people. so the lamb, and I'm a lamb guy.
You're a lamb guy?
Would be out of this world. I love lamb. I think just the beauty of the country and the beaches. They have magnificent beaches, they're tropical beaches.
Wow. You sound like, are you sure you're not with the Chamber of Commerce of New Zealand?
I should be.
You should be. But, you might want to ask for some work.
But first they have to send me there. They have to bring me there so I get first-hand information.
You know what? I can respect that. All right, so there you have it. New Zealand. You know what? I will say this. Everybody that I know that has gone to New Zealand has had an absolutely wonderful time.
The people down there, when I worked in Switzerland, the Aussies and the Kiwis, they do, they call it a walkabout. When they graduate from university or college, before they start their careers,
yes,
they usually go on anywhere from 2 to 5 year little trip around the world. And they can work without a permit in all the British Commonwealth countries. So there were a ton of Aussies and Kiwis working in Vengen with me in the hotels and restaurants and around. And I had the most, they're the nicest people. I've never met an Aussie or Kiwi I didn't really like. They were fun loving. And boy, could they put the piss away. That's what they call beer down under, folks. Piss. Let's go drink some piss, mate. What? I don't want to drink your pee. No, beer, you tell me. they like to have a good time. Oh, my goodness, do they ever. And then they all end up back in their native country. Or they'll, some settle in Canada, some settle in, wherever, they have the British Commonwealth. You know, could be Jamaica, could be, somewhere in the Caribbean, Tobago, it could be, anywhere, you know?
I've heard wonderful things about it. I've heard wonderful things about it. So although that would not be at the top of my list to go. I wanted to go when we were coming back. I was coming back from the North Arabian Sea, and I wanted to come back that way and go to Australia. But we went to Thailand instead. Yeah, but you know what? We had been on the way out there. We were in the Philippines for a couple of days, and then a typhoon was coming, so we had to go back out to sea. We went to Hong Kong. We went to Singapore as we kind of made our way out into the Indian Ocean. And so we had been to Oriental places. You know, now we're going to go to Thailand. So I thought it would be cooler to go to Australia, kind of a little bit different. But that's not how it worked out. And so... So I've never been there, but I've heard wonderful things about it. Now there's a lot of
it's amazing. Very friendly people. I've seen cooking shows about Australia, and it looks fascinating. And boy, the Great Barrier Reef is one of the most beautiful reefs in the world, if not the most beautiful. Or scuba diving or snorkeling, so Australia would be a good call.
The it's Marine Corps birthday time, And the official dish of for the Marine Corps birthday is prime rib.
Yes.
Can you go over a little bit of can you go over a little bit of prime rib? The recipe's on the website. So if you go to All Marine Radio, okay, and I'll walk you through this. So you go to the website. I just clicked on it. And boom, up comes this beautiful website. You go to the read board, and you click on the read board. And then you scroll down, and you will come to, the chef says, eat the delicious Asian chicken sub. So you can click on that. Is it on the read board? The chef says, the head chef returns, and we're talking shrimp fra diavolo.
Yeah.
Hmm. So maybe it's not there. Maybe it's in the blog. Yes. Go to the blog page, and then you'll see an entry that says, the All Marine Radio Head Chef's Cookbook, Kim and Beth Holmes. So you click on that, so it's on the blog. And then you see a good picture of Uncle Mountain standing at his bar with all that booze behind him. And then you click on the word that says here. Just click here and bon appetit. That takes you to a whole file of recipes, all right? And in there, you will find, I think it says Sanders Famous Prime Rib. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 6 different images. All right. The first image is the recipe for it. There are 11 different steps in very nice handwriting. So I'll assume it wasn't done by you, Kim. So anyway, that's the recipe. That's where you can find everything that Kim's going to talk about. But let's talk about prime rib a little bit. First of all, let's talk about meat selection.
You want to get, if you can go to your butcher store and get a 7 to 10 pound prime rib.
Okay.
And
so what
with the bone out.
Bone out.
With the bone out.
So what do I look for in the cut of meat?
You the prime rib is what you want, the ribeye, the prime rib. And what you want is you want the chef, the butcher, to trim it up a little bit for you, but not take too much of the fat off the top. Okay? And leave the fat cap, that the strip at the bottom that you're going to use to it helps the flavor of it, and there is some meat on there for the serious carnivore, but there's some fat too, okay. Which is, if you like fat, which I do,
right? We love fat,
and it gets crispy. But if you just want a piece of prime rib, you go to Sam's or Costco, and you buy one of those Cryovac. It's choice to, they have a blank black Angus prime rib, and they say it's prime, but it's probably really choice. But that's okay. What we're going to do, because I used to buy choice when I started this recipe, and because that's what all was available. The key is, You read the seasoning mix and you garlic puree, and you cannot be cheap with the garlic puree, and you rub olive oil all over the roast.
Okay.
Then you spread the garlic puree on.
Okay.
You add white pepper. And salt, you can be pretty generous with that. And then you add your basil, rosemary, and oregano, your Rob. Basil, oregano, and rosemary. Or rosemary, yeah, whatever. And then you put it in the pan that you're going to roast it in, and you put it in, cover it with saran wrap tightly, and put it overnight in the fridge. And that means that the meat will marinate and soak up all that, those herbs and garlic and salt and pepper, and stay perfect. And then the next day, before you cook it, you pull it out of the refrigerator at least an hour to an hour and a half before you cook it. And you let it come to room temperature. You let it come to room temperature. You preheat your oven to as high as it will go. 500, 550, 600. Does not matter. Say 550 at the top, because most ovens will go to 550. You preheat that up and crank it up. And then the following instructions are paramount to making this a successful roast.
So pay attention, everybody.
Okay, and you have put the prime rib with the flat side down in the pan, the rounded side up. That's where the fat is. The fat will run through the meat and tenderize the meat, and when it turns to juice. Now, what you do is, when you put the prime rib in the oven, you do not cover it. You leave it naked, and you put it on 500 degrees, saying we're doing a 10 to 12 pound roast. Okay? I would leave it in there at 500 degrees for, 40 minutes. 40 to 45 minutes. If it's a 10 pound roast, then you do 35 to 40 minutes. But right at 500 degrees. Then the whole trick to this thing is you turn the oven off and do not open the oven door. I repeat, do not open the oven door. If you have a penchant for taking peeks, turn the light on in the oven if you have a glass door. If you don't, duct tape the goddamn door shut. You do not want to open the oven door for at least an hour to an hour and 15 minutes. Believe me, folks, the heat will slowly cook that meat, and it'll still be 160 degrees in that oven when you, after an hour or an hour and 15 minutes, depending on the size of your roast. And then you pull it up, and then you can serve it. You can put a foil tin over it while you're putting the other dishes together. I mean, you know, you should have everything ready. But while you're setting your table with your mashed potatoes, your sides, whatever you're doing, and then you take the meat, the roast, with a carving fork and a pair of tongs, you put it on your platter. If you're going to carve it at the table, the head of the table usually carves the meat. You have an exceptionally sharp knife, and then the roast will be cooked from medium to medium rare in the center, and maybe a little bit rare in the center. And it'll be a perfect prime rib. And it happens every time. And that's how I started doing the prime rib. The ones you have a picture of, that's what we did in house here, in our kitchen, in our condo. And Beth, you know, it was just perfect. And what you can do if you have leftovers, you put it in the fridge, and then you trim when it's refrigerated the next day, you can trim the fat off And then you have this beautiful piece of meat that you can slice for sandwiches. You can chop it up in 1-inch cubes to make a stroganoff or a beef stew. It's very versatile. Or if you want to save it for, we had a meat slicer, so I would slice it thin with leftover prime rib, and then I'd add our barbecue sauce, and we do barbecue prime rib sandwiches, which is next to godlike with French fries. Mac has had this dish more than once.
I love it.
In fact, we served the football team, his number one son and I. We cooked 4 prime ribs.
Well, let me tell you, do you remember the back to school, back to war party that we had?
Yes, exactly.
Kim served this there. It was, and it's the dive for. People saw it, and they were like, oh, yes, yum, 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 yum.
You buy those little dinner rolls, and you cut them. You buy them sliced, of course.
Right.
And then J-Mac and I had a pre-football game. We served, I think, 300 or 400 of these little sliders, barbecue prime rib sliders. And we served every ounce of that prime rib, barbecue prime rib. They loved it. So, but that's, and this way, when you don't be frightened by buying a big prime rib and cooking it.
Oh, my God.
Because the first dinner is the best one with warm, freshly cooked. And there's a crust that forms on the outside of the prime rib that is just truly to die for.
It is.
It's.
I could eat prime rib crust. I could, ditch the rest of the meat and just sit there and have a plate full of, maybe the outer inch.
Inches of the prime rib with the crust, and then your baked potato that's loaded baked potato, and then whatever veggie you want to do. My favorite veggie, I'd say number one would be asparagus, but number two would be the baked cauliflower that I do. I know you have.
Okay, let me ask you this: so is mashed potatoes with prime rib? Is that a given? That's a given. That's kind of a given, yes.
Yeah. But if you do mashed potatoes with the prime rib, do a garlic mashed potato.
Yes,
and
I agree.
And you take about 1 inch of olive oil, and you load it with garlic cloves. And you put them on stove on medium heat until they get kind of golden brown and very soft. And then you pull it off. You don't want to boil it. You just want to simmer it slowly. Could be 30 to 60 minutes. It depends how loaded your saucepan is. And we used a small cast iron skillet. And then we take out For a normal family of 6-8, you'd take out about 10 of those garlic cloves. You want to load it, though, because what you can do is you can seal those in a glass jar and pour a little olive oil in there to cover them up. And then you have flavored garlic olive oil that you can use if you're cooking other things or making salad dressing. So there's another little tip for you. But then you mash that in with your potatoes, and we'd use a dozen of, because we're doing 50 pounds of mashed potatoes at a time. We'd do a dozen or 18 garlic cloves, mash them up, and then we throw them in with about a pound of cream cheese.
Well, hold on. I don't want to talk about that. That just so everybody knows, and the reason I say that is that recipe's on the website.
Okay.
So you can find Kim's garlic mashed potato recipe on that. The thing I want to come back to is don't be afraid to buy a bigger prime rib than you think you need, because oh my God, if there's one thing that you really ought to have in your refrigerator as a leftover, hello, that would be prime rib.
And if there's only, say, four of you, and you're buying a 10 to 12 pound prime rib, okay, folks, because what you can do is you take the one half of it, you can wrap it up with saran wrap and freezer paper and put it in a freezer bag and freeze it. And it'll last a couple of months.
Oh, my God. Trust me.
Pull it out and thaw it. Or around here, there's nothing better than a roast beef sandwich. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
But you're not talking about normal roast beef. You're talking about prime rib, which is, come on. Let me just tell you, it never lasted very long at our house. You had leftover prime rib. Yeah, you'd come home looking for it, like, where's the prime rib? And then you get this, huh? Like, I'm going to kill you two. What? Were we not supposed to eat it? No, you were supposed to eat it, not all of it.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's true.
But it's no, I'll tell you what. And I'll tell you, but to me, the thing that is so good about prime rib is that crust. You know, and then you can heat that back up in the oven, cut a slice, put it in the oven. Do not microwave it. If you're going to microwave prime rib at any point, don't even cook it. Do not commit such a crime against humanity. It's ridiculous.
Throw it out.
Yeah, just come on. It's disgusting. Stop it. So,
if you want to serve it like you had it the first time, wrap it in saran wrap and foil and throw it in the oven and 225 degrees and heat it up that way. 325 degrees and slow heat it. But don't use a microwave.
Yeah. Just stop.
I suggested, you know, you can cut it in tubes.
If you're gonna go microwave, just go buy a TV dinner, okay? Just go buy some piece of garbage and eat it, okay? You don't need to mess with prime rib in the microwave. That's ridiculous because it doesn't allow for something that lives in juice. It doesn't allow that to have juice, and so it's just stupid. It's absolutely positively stupid. That's right. There's some things I've gleaned, okay, over the course of my, like, I can troubleshoot the electrical system on your car, especially if you have an automatic car starter. I know how to do that, okay?
Yeah.
The other thing I know about microwaves, okay? I know what they don't do. I know what they don't do, okay? So, if you want to go there, then there you have it. All right, here's a prime rib question. Mac, prime rib, condiments, what is the chef like? I've heard him talk about a concoction of sour cream and horseradish sauce. I'm curious about what is his favorite. I know he has emotional issues when he talks about his favorite things, always defaulting to. So could you please monitor this answer and make sure he tells me what is his personal favorite? You know what? People know you.
That's
they know
very
you.
True.
They. This is your therapy. Your therapist might have written this.
I'm sensitive for a big deal.
I know you are. So what is your favorite there, Pumpkin?
Banana breath. The thing is, I love fresh horseradish, and I like sour cream, and those two things, and you can go two ways with a little dollop of honey in there and mix it up so it's not too intense. But for me, I would add like maybe a tablespoon of mayonnaise to the sour cream, say a cup of sour cream, a tablespoon of mayonnaise, and about a half a cup of horseradish, and get Thor's horseradish in the refrigerated section of your supermarket. It's a natural horseradish, and it's strong. And you make sure that some of the juice that's in the horseradish gets put in this mixture. You whip it up, and you do it the day before so all the flavors get together. And before, when you get done mixing it, you taste it and see if it's the right heat you want. And if not, you add more horseradish and or whatever you feel you need to add. But in my case, it would be, if I don't think there's enough horseradish, I add more. And a lot of people will eat just straight horseradish on their prime rib.
Yeah.
I like the saucy kind of thing. I like my heat, but I also like how the sour cream reacts with the prime rib and horseradish.
You know what? I agree with you. I remember the first time I had, you know how when you get like straight horseradish and it like clears out your whole sinus cavity, you could feel it like moving through your head.
Yeah, I've been there.
That's a little strong. And, no, the horseradish sauce is, and with sour cream, delicious. Absolutely delicious. And so you still get the heat and the kick and, sour cream, though. Anytime somebody's saying sour cream, I'm listening. I'm a fan of sour cream. So anyway. All right, so that's the condiment. Any other way that you prepare the prime rib? So you have that with it. Anything else?
What's your favorite veggie?
No, not so much veggie. So that's the way you we're talking about the way you eat it. You eat prime rib with that sauce.
Well, prime rib with the garlic mashed potatoes, and then because with the garlic mashed potato, you can kind of swish around in the prime rib juices and incorporate that a little bit in each bite of mashed potato. If you're real decadent, you do I like, not all the time, Beth, because Beth likes the mashed potatoes. But I would do a baked potato.
Ooh.
The way we do a baked potato that we've explained
right.
on here.
Right, with
the olive oil and the salt. Right. And then I have the sour cream. You pooch it. Then you do a big dollop of butter. Then sour cream. Then green onions. And then bacon bits. And then that's my favorite baked potato.
So that rounds out that low calorie plate of prime rib, baked.
yes.
Baked potato, and then the special serves and then special sauce and then a vegetable. All right. Well, there you have it. There you go. And again, we do that kind of as a tribute to the Marine Corps. Birthday that's coming up, and the official meal of the Marine Corps
and
birthday.
And your son's birthday is coming up. Wish him happy birthday, Patrick.
Yeah, Patrick, born on the Marine Corps birthday.
Yeah,
Bethesda Naval Hospital. So would have been born on the 495, except it was a holiday. It was a Friday. It was a holiday. Were it not for that, yeah, we'd had a baby on the side of the 495. That would have been interesting. That would have been quite the story. So I thank God for the good fortune of being able to get to the hospital that day. So, Patrick Francis, Swinging the Chain, November 10th, 1989, Patrick Report. So good year. All right, any big plans for the weekend?
No, I'm going to do some just sports watching, and then I'll make some calls for Heidi.
Oh, shit. We didn't talk about your Dodgers. Do you care to talk about it at all? It's pretty painful.
It's going to be interesting to see if they keep the manager around this
year.
Oh, yeah.
They already said they were. Multi-year deal.
He signed a multi-year deal?
No, they were talking about it, that he will, shortly.
Well, you know, God bless them. I guess I'm going to have to relook into the Yankees or some other fucking team.
What? You know what?
No, I'm sticking with my Dodgers. They got their asses handed to them by a much better team.
No, but they screwed it up. Coach. Game two. They screwed game two up. Him. You know what? You know what, Kim? The thing about the Dodgers is, you know, everybody does analytics in baseball. Only the Dodgers do it crazy. And it winds up costing them games. And I'm not talking about you. They're better than other teams. So in the regular season, you can do that stuff and get away with it. When you get into the playoffs and you play teams like Houston and the Red Sox that aren't making those mistakes, you pay for it.
Yeah.
And they seem to make their own, you know, their own self-inflicted gunshot wounds. Not that the Red Sox weren't good this year. Not that Houston wasn't good last year. But it's like you're supposed to put your best foot forward. And for whatever reason, the Dodgers are too busy being smart, and they screw it up. So, I don't know. That was my take on it. I know. I was thinking, I'm like, oh, poor Kim. He's screaming at his television.
I am. I threw my hat. when they lost, I threw my hat at the TV screen, ripped off my Jackie Robinson jersey.
Did you?
Started crying.
You did the same routine as the pitcher did when he threw his glove down on the mound?
Something like that.
Oh, that was the Red Sox pitcher.
And then I turned around to the liquor cabinet and grabbed the tequila.
There you go. Self-medication. All right. No, that was the Red Sox pitcher that gave up the home run to Puig and then threw his glove down on the mound. It's like, oh, my God, did we just go to a Little League game? What the hell just happened? I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious. All right, sir, you have a good weekend. Thank you for the Primer Report. We really appreciate it.
Okay, only a few more months till spring training.
Well, there you go.
You have a great weekend, and don't forget to vote, baby.
There you go. Yeah, vote everybody. All right, Kim, have a good one. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
There you have it, the one and only All-Marine Radio head chef talking prime rib. Yeah, let me just tell you, if you have not been to the blog page, okay, go to it. And if you haven't checked out those recipes, I'm telling you, he had the best restaurant I've ever been to in my life. Just the food was awesome, and prime rib was one of his specialties. The crust, if you follow those directions, the crust that you get on the prime rib right after you sear it and slow cook it is to die for. So, anyway, the birthday boy going to join us next. Yep, fired up, man. He's a little bit early, too, so... Yeah, Mike Musselman, birthday man today. So we'll talk to him next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the ReadBoard page at AllMarineRadio.com.